Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Joining us again today, it is Cybersecurity Sunday. I have Mr. Win Win, cybersecurity expert, joining us again today. And today's topic is ransomware, specifically MagNiber. Am I saying that right, Win?
Yeah, I just said that close enough.
MagNiber ransomware, and this is a serious one. Well, they're all serious, but the impact of this one is significant. So anyway, we're going to dive into some of the details on that, talk about the impact, the technical underpinnings, prevention tips, and then a couple of other topics there. And we may interject some other related topics if we have time. So when did MagNiber say that for me?
Well, let's see, MagNiber.
Okay, MagNiber.
So this ransomware has recently intensified its attack on a home user globally, and the significant impact on the individual by encrypting their device and demand ransom.
And ransoms are payments we make.
So before we dive in, let me explain to you what is. I know a lot of people understand what ransomware is, but I want to get the definition out of the way. You know,
okay.
It's a malicious software or malware that encrypts or lock value digital or demand ransom to release them. Just think of it like a digital kidnapper taking your file hostage and asking money for return of their release. Same concept.
And it's a device level.
Well, yes. So endpoint or device. So let's just say if you click on the link and they will encrypt your file, your document, your video, your photo.
What about your Gmail? Can I log in at a desktop even though the ransomware came on my phone? Or
Well, it depends. But before we go any further, let's talk about the history where the virus came from.
Okay.
So this is not something new. It's been a while.
Okay.
So this typical virus was first appeared 2017, and primarily targeting user in South Korea. Okay, and now and off the sudden you see the spike last week and actually last month. The recent report in 2024, a significant spike in with victim file being encrypted and appended in, you will see the extension, okay? And most cases, the attacker demand ransom started from 1,000 and increased to 5,000, if not paid within 3 days, you know? It's getting worse.
And how do you see this file on your phone? I mean, can you use the Apple Files app, or how do I go check?
So the way you check, let's just say off the sun, you launch your Word document or Excel.
On a phone or an iPad or?
No, not an iPad, usually on your PC.
Okay.
Not the phone, usually on your computer, not your iPad or your iPhone.
Okay.
Most of the time it's on your PC. And the way you know it's infected or not, you see the extensions look like XYZ. They have an extension, a very unique extension, and you cannot open it. Okay. And the moment you open it, there's a message appear, your files has been encrypted, and you need to pay with Bitcoin. You know, they give you the instruction to pay for it. But when you look at all your files, you see there's an extension, you can open it. So imagine that. And the impact of that is very significant. And this time, it's not at the corporate level, but at the user level. So you think about it, it's all over around the world right now. Okay, so in this show, I want to talk about the impact and also I will list a technical breakdown and some prevention tips.
Okay, great. Okay. And the target is not, they don't discriminate against corporate versus non-corporate users, et cetera, correct?
Right. And this one is just spreading like your PC. If you have five PCs at home, it will spread to your, all your PC. Huh. And right now at the user level.
How do they find the first PC? That's what I'm never understanding on these attacks.
Well, they just spread.
But is it, do they target Facebook? Do they target, what do they target? What's the carrier? So, who's the carrier?
So typically? Basically, it's not through the carrier. Basically, through, this is how it works, okay? The way it works is like this. Fake update, okay? And also, people who download software and try to crack the software, right? And they also exploit software vulnerability. That's one of the technical breakdown that I can talk maybe after the break, some more detail.
Okay.
But for now, I want to talk. I just want people to be aware of the ransomware and the impact. First, you understand the impact and be aware, you know.
Okay, great.
So with some of the things that we can do to prevent all that is what you need to do. Is just look at, make sure you have the anti-software on your all your PC.
Antivirus?
Antivirus software.
Like you have a suggestion?
Well, a user can text us later, but I'm not going to specify okay. which kind. But
and VPNs, do those help?
VPNs help, but it doesn't matter if you click on the file. The key thing is the website, malicious website. Stay away from that.
And can they come in from PDF attachments?
That can also too, yes.
Okay.
The ones is spread through your update or through uh-huh. your, once you click on it, okay, then it can go anywhere.
And
like
what,
I said.
What about, like, you know, I get updates on applications all the time. How do you tell by looking? I mean, if it's from a legitimate source, it could still be infected. How do we know?
Well, look at this way, okay? Once in a while, you see an update from Microsoft, right?
Right.
Okay. And you can see, you can validate where it's coming from. Look at the source coming from. Because for number one, you didn't click on anything, right? But usually, it started when you click on something. And then your right-hand corner, and you see the message appear. And it's not Microsoft. It would look like Microsoft. Or look like the other stuff.
But if you've got your software, I know I've got a couple Microsoft apps, remote desktop being one, and I know that about, I don't know, at least once a week, I see the Microsoft updater is working, you know, it's running in the background, where that's instituted from my machine directly to Microsoft. Are right. those type of downloads theoretically
no.
safe? Or?
No, this particular one, yeah. you actually have to go on site and you click on something. You actually click on the link. For example, if you see something, you were browsing on something, right? Let's say you search for something. You accidentally type in the wrong address, and the website appear, and then you click on it. Okay, that's when it started. It looked like an update.
So it's almost one of those situations with phishing where there's a certain level of intrigue to something you saw, and now you want to go see what's in the candy jar, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, okay.
Now that is, I would say the fake update is about 20%, but majority of them came from, now this is for the developer, okay, or the people who access to try to crack the software and make illegal copy. This is where I would say 50%.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So they actually had to go in there, hey, you know what? I see this software. I'm not going to pay for it, free access. And they tried to use the cracked software, then this is where the problem coming. I would say 50%. Okay. And the other 30% is software vulnerabilities. Okay.
Have any examples?
Well, like they call it including a zero-day exploit. Like if your software, like it depends who, like most of them like MP3 music, Okay.
Okay.
And if you buy the software and those software are not legitimate, I would say it's not like secure. They can cause also too, because the virus can be up, can be downloaded from there.
So the same lack of security that allowed somebody to make a counterfeit copy is opening the door to
that's
these
how,
type of exploits.
Right. So it's not come from one source. Like I said, come from three sources, right? So far that I can see, fake update, cracked software, and software vulnerabilities. Those are the three areas that's where the virus could come in. And not just necessarily have to be this typical, this typical Magnavore ransomware. It could be any ransomware. Okay, that's the whole idea. They target. They target using this method.
Okay.
Okay. So now some of the stuff that we can do, like I said, we can have antivirus. We have a strong spam filter. But last but not least, is backup data regularly. You need to do that and educate yourself and others.
Does the backup your data regularly suggestion, what happens if this ransomware is already on a file that you haven't opened yet and you're backing up your data? Are you effectively backing up the ransomware exploit as well?
Well, it depends on what kind of backup you have. Okay. Right? So if you have the backup like the one that I have, like a cloud backup, I'm not going to name what kind of backup, but basically it do increment and also do full. So it depends what day. You can go back to the day.
So you don't do incremental, you do full backups.
I do full increment and delta.
Okay.
Okay. So let's just say all my file was encrypted this morning.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I can go back yesterday.
Before you've clicked anything.
Before you click anything, you can go back. Just like a time machine on the Mac.
And does the ransomware, you know, let's say you've got a file that's infected, and that's a file that for whatever reason you never click, you never open it. Does it unilaterally on its own open at some point?
If you have a good backup system, it will detect the file.
The malware.
The malware. And if you have good endpoint security, it will detect the file.
Yeah, but you're talking about, I mean, in the case of individual users not working in corporate America, who has that? Right?
Well, at least you have a legitimate or a endpoint security that you know, several of them out there that will pick that up, at least have, or even
so Microsoft. Gmail has those kind of filters?
Email have their own filter, but not 100%. They always want to get away.
Right.
Like any other endpoint, they also have it, you know, the technology, but it take only one time. Usually it will detect, but usually it's not. It's when the people click on the file.
Yeah.
And it's already happened.
Yeah.
It's too late.
Okay. Well, let's do this. We're right on top of our first break. Let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll circle back momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner show, where it's Cybersecurity Sunday.
You're always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing a little bit more concern about where you're going. There's a word.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195. 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan at NPRoss.com. Nathan at NPRoss.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
With big dreams and faded jeans.
Okay, welcome back to more of this week's Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And it is Cybersecurity Sunday. I have our cybersecurity expert, Mr. Nguyen Nguyen, on hand again today. And he is explaining to us the concept, or not the concept, the actual occurrence that's raised its head here more recently in the ransomware arena, and it's referred to as MagNiber. And if you're familiar with that, I hope you're tangential to it, and it's not because you've had a ransomware request. And but anyway, we were talking a little bit about, you know, what is it, the impact that it's causing, the technical breakdown of how it operates, and now Nguyen is going to discuss prevention tips.
Go ahead, Nguyen. Thank you, Nathan. So before we're talking about the technical breakdown, I just want to give a summary real quick. The technical breakdown is going to be delivery and infections and the encryption process, and then the ransomware demand. Okay. So after the encryption process, so all your files are infected and encrypted. Right, targeting your document, your images, your database, and an important file in your user file. And then the encryption algorithm will encrypt those files, and you need the key from the bad guy to unlock it. Right, so that encryption process.
Hey, Nguyen, speaking of files, is this another argument for using the cloud? What about my QuickBooks Online
files? That's a very good question. Usually, knock on wood, but so far those files are not encrypted. Because they're not, those files.
They're not active on your machine.
Well, they're not file allocation table. I don't want to get into a technical aspect of it. But those, usually the cloud, they don't infect it. Not that I've seen it. But
so my Google Drive files, my Dropbox files, although Dropbox I've got running local as well.
But here's the thing, though. When it sync, it will sync whatever you have. But you can do different version of those files. But we'll talk into that.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. That gives me hope.
Yeah, that's why I said the cloud's really helpful, right? It's really helpful. And I encourage people to do that. They'll use OneDrive, because doing this, this virus will not affect those files.
If you're Microsoft, you use OneDrive, right?
Right, right. And then there are other products out there as well, like
Dropbox,
Google Drive, and things like that.
Yeah.
So anyway, back to the technical breakdown. Uh-huh. Then you have the ransomware demand. So they generate the file, the instruction, say your files are encrypted, and then you need to pay this, okay? So that's a technical breakdown. Now let me show you talk about prevention tips, okay? How individuals can protect themselves from such ransomware, okay? Number one, keep software up to date, okay? You can go to your computers and select automatic. I mean, for individual, I would do that since you're not technical enough. Just do automatically. Make sure that on your Microsoft Windows, you see on security function, you see everything is green up to date. If you see anything yellow, look at it and make sure it's all green. That's a good indicator you're up to date.
And these vendors are pretty good. I mean, they may not spell out, hey, you need to install this because of MacNiber, mm-hmm. however you say that, but they don't mess around with needless updates. And when they say, hey, there's security issues, please update, that should be taken seriously. And in fact, I don't know, and this is a separate issue, but it's collateral to this. You know, I'm one that I rarely tell my software applications to automatically download and install. I'll set it to where it automatically downloads, but I want to control the installation because every once in a while there's problems. And I'd rather know, you know, when I see an update, I might wait a week before I actually install it because I want to see, well, what are other people running into, especially with iOS. I rarely install iOS, you know, any sooner than a week after those things are available. What do you say?
Well, Apple usually tell you it's important, you need to do right away, right? But we're talking about for general population, not everybody's technical. So I'm talking about like my mom and the elder, especially the kid. They go into the computer, they will click on anything.
Have you seen updates from these major vendors that specifically deal with this? And if so, does it say that's what it...
Only the antivirus software.
Okay.
But they usually say, you know, there's a ransomwares and there's a new kind, make sure it's up to date.
Right, they're not going to call out a specific one because then...
Some, but not all.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the next one. The next prevention tip is to use antivirus or anti-malware solution. So I'm not going to mention which one, but people can hear this radio. They can request, and I can tell them.
Is very similar, and I didn't read our disclaimer today because I don't think we're talking about any tax or real estate issues. But every time we start the shows where we are, we remind the listener that, hey, just because you hear something on today's show or on our website or on our YouTube channel that we're getting ready to start. In fact, I think later today, when and I'll be working on that, don't run out and jump into the pool. The pool may not have enough water in it or have any water, and you're going to get hurt. So you need to consult with experts or somebody that's familiar with your unique facts and circumstances. And most people have a computer guy, right? And so if you need help or you have some questions, you know, off-the-cuff cursory answers are available by calling us. And you can text or call 713-581-0195. And if it's a question for Win-Win, I'll forward that on to him. If it's a question for me, I'll circle back to you sometime over the next few days. But, you know, we want to help our listeners stay out of these traps. I've had one, it's more than a client. It's one of my best friends that has a fairly recognizable spouse in a professional service industry. I won't mention. And they got hit with a ransomware attack. I don't know. It's been 5-6 years ago maybe. And I can't tell you the frustration, the heartache, the cost that, you know, he ultimately had to submit the Bitcoin, as you say, when, and it wasn't an inexpensive amount, but they have you over a barrel. I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to walk away and start a whole new paradigm with your computing systems? Go ahead.
Never, never pay them, because once you pay them, you are marked on their system forever.
Well, as an individual, that's probably the case, but as a business, you may not have a choice. Look at all the name brand companies that had to pay. They didn't talk about it, but they had to. But you bring up a good point. In my buddy's case, he was convinced that the group that showed up to help, and he interviewed several just off of Facebook and other venues, he was convinced that at the end of the day, the group that he had, you know, undo everything was part of or related to the group that caused it. And he never could figure out, was that a chicken and egg thing or an egg and chicken thing, basically, in terms of how they connected together. But he said it was clear that it was more than just happenstance that he found that solution. But anyway, that was 5 or 6 years ago. And this wasn't a big company. This was a, you know, professional service practice, maybe 10 employees, 12 employees. And it cost them in the tens of thousands of dollars. And not only that, it took them out. I mean, they used their systems to run the business, appointments and keeping track of, assorted personal file information. And I marvel even now thinking about what he went through that thankfully I haven't been, you know, the subject of one of these, but you never know. You never know.
Well, it's very unfortunate, and the bad guys today are using artificial intelligence or AI, so they can target you and they can do faster and quicker, and those viruses adapt. They adapt. They're using code. Those codes adapt quickly.
Yeah.
Right. So also to look at, be wary of suspicious email and link. And I keep telling people over and over again, I would say 80% of the virus come from an email phishing.
And it's every day.
Every single day. I say 90% of the whole internet are spam. That's my opinion.
I mean, if you look at your spam folder, at least in my case, I use Gmail. I mean, we use a Google Workspace account, but I also use my Gmail because it's got some incredible flexibilities when you're working across multiple Google Workspace accounts.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at your spam folder and it's like, oh my gosh. I mean, it's amazing what's coming in on a daily basis, and yet it doesn't all get trapped. And, you know, one of the problems, at least in my case, I'm sure this is what contributes to the occasional spam email message that gets through, is I use the filters to automate labeling and forwarding certain emails on to my associates. And unfortunately, and I get the warning often when I set up a new filter that, hey, you might want to check or uncheck a couple of the boxes. You know, I tell it to start. I tell it to mark it as important. I check several of those boxes on the filter construction. And unfortunately, each one you check, you're diminishing the capability of Gmail spam filter potentially. And so you really have to be careful, and you have to think about, well, what's more important? Is it more important that I get this label put on this email, or is it more important that Gmail has a chance to block something that's
hurt? Most software like Google, you can enable strong spam filter. Like, for example, I tell you how I deal with mine, okay? Mine is.
And by the way, that strong spam filter is not a checkbox. You're talking about the overall settings, correct?
The overall setting, but on the spam, if you, I think the Google, they have an option where you, I think you pay, and that's a free one, but the pay option, you can enable just one click and it's a more enforced, stronger spam filter. That's an option in there.
I'll have to check that. But I do pay for even on my Gmail account, but I pay for more space. Does that also get me this?
They have different level.
Yeah.
But I think your second level have that option because mine is all filter. But I'm telling you, they also, the way I do mine, if it's internal email, it will go to my inbox. But anything outside external go to my spam box.
Huh.
Okay. There's some company are doing that. They take extreme measure because
I like
a big company that I'm not going to name it, but they do that. For example, like especially the government, if you internal, it'll go to inbox. Everything else goes to spam box because they keep training people. You need to look at, if it's on the spam box, you can click it all day long. You will not infect anything.
Huh.
It show you, you can.
Okay, so that rule that we talked about last week, that would apply to this
It will apply
to this. Magniber?
Yes.
Virus as well?
Right,
okay.
Right. Because if any phishing email, it will go into anything outside.
Of course,
outside,
they're good at making it not look like it's a phishing email,
but,
right?
But the company has, like, the company has, like, if they use like the Microsoft 365 or any legitimate software, it will bring that, put it automatically to spam box, right?
Okay.
And you can, if it's external email, you can see, you can highlight it. You look at the header, you can see where it's coming from, okay? And you can see the extension of it.
We need to put that on our list for a future show, is examining emails and explain to people. I mean, it's hard when we're on an audio only, mm-hmm. but we need the header in an email is very telling. And I know we've got a situation where one of the homeowner boards that I'm president of over in San Antonio, we're undertaking a roof replacement. And, you know, it's a $100,000-plus job across these four buildings that make up the association. And apparently, and we don't know at this point, I'm suspicious now the roofing, quote, unquote, company itself, but we had a request to forward money to their bank account. And, you know, we had already been in discussions on putting 30% down, et cetera, et cetera. Well, our management company noticed on that email, it was one of these long email addresses, you know, that ended in .gmail, right? Like we were talking about a week ago, right? And so we called the company, or he did, and the guy said, oh, yeah, our email got hacked, and sorry about that. I'll send you over another one. Well, in came the new request, and it had the same. It's almost like, if they're not the hacker, I'm convinced now the roofing company, quote unquote, may be a hacker. They saw emails going back and forth from our accounts regarding the roof job and decided, hey, here's a golden opportunity to snag money. They obviously knew about the 30% down requirement. And so if we hadn't, and I say we, our outside management company is pretty good about catching these things because they've got a lot of homeowner associations that would naturally be targets because the funds that are building up in each of those accounts. And if they hadn't have caught that, I'm convinced we would probably be out 30 grand right now, you know, which is roughly the amount of money. But this is serious stuff.
Well, you see, the next time I'm going to talk about something even more serious, okay, even though all the prevention we have, we're talking about today, there's some cases that we, the next topic I want to talk about, not now, but in the future, they can intercept your email, for example, 365, okay, and they can use your legitimate email, meaning they take over your email, they create the rules, they intercept, it's already happening right now, and a lot of, like, people transfer money, they thought they're talking to a person A to B, there was an individual in the middle pretend to be A.
Sure.
And give your banking information, and they intercepting it. And then they respond back, they hide the email from individual A, and then send another email to individual B with a different transferring.
See, that almost sounds like what must have happened.
Well, it is happened very often, but that is target. And the next time we talk about it, that's a little more technical, okay? And it's happening. So, but regardless, if you protect yourself, you are better off than all this step. You're 60% better than most people.
Yeah.
If you do that.
Yeah.
Still, 60 to 70% still a lot, right?
Hey, let me stop you at that point. We're right on top of the second break. Let's go ahead and take the break, and then we'll circle back here momentarily with the last segment of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
I was gonna be rich no matter how much it cost. And I was gonna win no matter how much I lost. Grindstones and rhinestones have made up my life. But I shine like a diamond through sacrifice. I was gonna be rich no matter how much it cost. I was gonna win no matter how much I lost. But I hope that will tell
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be A Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control and make the
okay, welcome back to the final segment of this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And as I've mentioned several times already, this is our Cybersecurity Sunday show where we're speaking with cybersecurity expert, Mr. Nguyen Nguyen. And for those of you that may not understand, Nguyen is the Vietnamese name, N-G-U-Y-E-N. Correct, Nguyen?
They named me so well, they named me twice.
In any event, if you have questions for Mr. Nguyen Nguyen, and these are cursory, off-the-cuff type responses that he's willing to do, please let us know by texting us at 713-581-0195. And today's topic, if you're just turning us on today, is ransomware, specifically this MacNiber. I think I'm saying that correctly.
That's close enough.
Close enough, okay. Mm-hmm. And pretty serious stuff. So anyway, we've talked about the detection. We've talked about some so far in prevention. Well, we talked about the impact of these attacks. It's not pleasant. And we've given a somewhat of a technical breakdown, and now we're into the prevention tip part of our agenda. But Nguyen, pick back up with where we were.
So the last time we was talking about strong spam filter, okay, and now I want to talk about backup data regularly. So either you get a third party software that's doing all that, backup your data regularly, okay, like full increment and Delta. Delta means only the change.
Explain mm-hmm. full, incremental, and Delta.
Okay. So the first time when you back up your whole PC, your whole computers, you're going to take maybe 10 hours, depending how much data you have. That's the first time. And then tomorrow, or the next day, you add some file. So it will update that.
That's okay? Incremental.
That's increment. So it takes about 5 minutes or 10 minutes. Okay. And then during the day, it also backup called the Delta.
For the changed
for
files.
For the changes files only, or different version. It's how much you want to pay. So it can keep it up to like 30 days. So within 30 days, you can get your
restored. Restoration.
Exactly.
Theoretically.
Now, it's also good because it doesn't have to be ransomware, right? Because let's just say you delete something. You can go back a point in time and just select those files. So it's not just for ransomware, for everything.
Yeah.
I strongly recommend people today, to be honest with you, I don't care what kind of prevention measure you have, good anti-software, spam system, whatever. But I backup regularly. That's religious.
Yeah, and I'm going to add something on the backups, and I know when, like most computer folks, doesn't always think this way, but as an accountant who has sold and supported accounting software, assorted accounting software, most of my 40-plus years in the CPA business, we don't do incremental or change files. We back up the entirety of your accounting data because most accounting systems can't work with a patchwork or a quilt of that accounting data. They need the entire set of data. So you may want to do incremental or change files, and then when you're done or before you get started on incremental or change files, go to your accounting data directory and make sure you back up the entire thing or you will not be able to restore your data. Now, in the case of cloud-based systems like QuickBooks Online, for instance, or Quicken, and there's others, Sage has a cloud system, NetSuite you've probably heard of is a cloud system. Most old-school client-server accounting software is now available in the cloud world, and that gives you, according to what Wynn explained earlier, that gives you an added layer of protection. I'm not suggesting you don't back those up. I would still back them up, although depending on which version of the Intuit world, the QuickBooks world, I don't think you can back up some of their lesser expensive, less capable versions of QuickBooks. I know you can with their QuickBooks Online Advanced product and perhaps the Plus level. I don't know about Simple Start and forget the other one that's now in between Simple Start and Plus. But in any event, having supported many client installations over the years, I can't tell you how frustrating it is, debilitating, when a company's accounting system is not available to them. And I just can't stress enough about the need to back up and then be able to reinstall. Even if you were to lose a day or two, it's incredibly frustrating, but at least you're still in business. And I've seen companies literally go out of business because they couldn't reconstruct or otherwise reinstall good data sets.
Now, on the backup, I talk about the cloud backup in full increment and delta, okay? But there's another backup. It's called AirGap. What does that mean? You copy to your hard drive and disconnect it. You know, it's just like someone asked me, Wynn, what is the most security system that you can provide us? I said, sure. Unplug your computer and put it in the closet. Remember? Back in the old day, that's the most secure. You put it in the closet. But I also back up through the hard drive, like a storage hard drive, right? Full. After the cloud, I also back it up to
You're
the
talking
hard drive.
About a separate, either USB or NAS network.
Exactly. Not the NAS, but actually a hard drive, a USB hard drive, like 3 terabyte. Sure. I back it up and unplug it and put it in the closet.
And by the way, it's incredible how cheap those are now.
Yeah.
Buy them at Costco. I mean, gee, I've got a 7, I want to say, it wouldn't be terabyte, it'd be...
No, it's terabyte.
It may be terabyte, actually.
I mean, you're talking about for $49.
And it's the size, it's not as thick as a pack of cigarettes, but it's the same general size. And that was 4 years ago, I paid $99 for it. Samsung, name brand, okay?
Actually, more than that.
Yeah.
You pay for those.
It's crazy. And they're fast. And they work. I mean, they absolutely work across Mac and Windows OSs, you know?
So back it up regularly.
You've got no excuse, is what I'm trying to say.
No, I'm telling you right now, your best defense right now, even though the ransomware would not infect most of the cloud data, but for today, what about tomorrow? You never know. They will figure it out. A way to do it.
Well, thankfully, these cloud-based companies have the money to hire a lot more security expertise than we individually will ever.
And they still get hacked.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. And that's right. So people ask me for solution. There's no 100% silver bullet, but you can minimize, but back it up as much as possible.
Yeah.
That's just me. So cloud backup and also a offsite air gap to your hard drive.
I hadn't heard that term, but that's good. I mean, it's very apropos.
Yeah, the
air gap.
The air gap is not connected to your to your computer. So basically, just a hard drive, and you copy all your data. So that's what you need to do. Okay, and next I want to continue is last educate yourself and others over and over and over again. And I tell you I train people with a phishing test, and sometimes it's so critical, and people still make a mistake, the same mistake over and over and over again. Because if you don't have to click on it, you don't have to click on it. You don't need to see it or put in a spam folder.
I have gotten to the point, and I hate to admit this publicly and on the air, but maybe it'll answer some questions for some of the clients that have sent me emails. I don't open too many emails these days. And, you know, it's not just a matter of being afraid of phishing or ransomware attacks. It's simply a volume thing. And I tell my clients, hey, email me if you must. I don't like texts that are, you know, 3 miles long. So email me the long email and then shoot me a text that says, check your email, and I'll get it. And that's how I operate when I email somebody. Look, it's amazing any of it works, right, Wynn? I mean, when you think about what has to happen in the electronic, all the zeros and ones, the binary bit code that's going up in the cloud and coming down and putting itself back together again, it's amazing any of it works. But guess what? Sometimes it doesn't. And so having two chances to get somebody's attention for free doesn't cost you any extra to send a text after you send that email, or vice versa. And so that's what I propose doing. And especially if you've got email recipients you're sending to that are like me, where they don't necessarily rush out and go open emails, even from people they know, because your account may have been hacked, right? And I may not get it because Gmail may filter that out, or whatever other app we've got. So anyway,
to some of the stuff that we can do today, for example, like I talk about backup and educate yourself and don't click on the link. I hate it when people click on the link. Okay.
Oh, it's just potentially catastrophic.
So I don't know how much time we have, but
we've
I want
about 5 minutes, four minutes.
So I want to summarize the key point that we discussed today. Okay,
great.
And we talk about the MacNeighbor type ransomware, and that's identified in 2017. And today it's existing today, it spread like wildfire. Okay, and we talk about infection methods, how it spread through fake software update, crack software, and exploit window vulnerabilities. These methods trick user into executing malicious payload that installed the ransomware. To keep that in mind, okay?
By the way, MacNeighbor, where did it originate? Is it foreign? Is it American?
South Korea.
Oh, that's right.
In 2017. Yeah. That's when it started. So in 2016, I don't know if you remember, the WannaCry is the first ransomware that's in fact... Now, that came from North Korea.
That came from
North Korea, uh-huh. Okay? But it's so easy to catch them because North Korea has only 17 public, no, maybe less than 15, no, I would say with 20 public IP addresses.
Is that right?
And it's all funneled through China. Huh. So anyway, I don't want to go into more detail, but we catch them right away. But that was the first one, 2016, right? So back to the conclusion, the encryption and ransomware method, right? They send you a text, they send you a file, and they said you need to pay $1,000. They give you 3 days. And after that 3 days, you don't pay the increased $5,000. Right? So most people panic, and what they do, they hire somebody else coming in and clean their computers. Keep in mind, when you clean those keys, you no longer have the key to decrypt. So that's another thing. it's a nightmare. So just don't pay them. So damn if you do, damn if you don't, right? The only thing you can do is back up. That's one thing I can do, okay?
Or start over.
Or start over. And then, so that's the impact. We'll talk about the impact and the scope, right? So the recent surge in Mac Niebuhr attacks in 2024 has seen hundreds of incidents reported globally. And you will see the next few days, you will see it, okay? And then we'll talk about prevention and protection. Keep your software up to date using reputable antivirus or anti-malware solution. Avoid suspicious downloads. Regularly back up your data and educate oneself about security threats. So that's the really action takeaway for listen implement today.
Okay, we talked about. Mm-hmm. Hey, are you through with your summary? It looks
yeah,
like.
Yeah.
I wanted to raise something. We just have a couple minutes left. One of our listeners had texted me this morning, I guess, or maybe it was late last night, that they heard a term after listening to our phishing show last week. They heard a term called spear phishing, and I wanted you to define that since that term is out there in the current domain. And you may have seen President Trump's campaign.
It's targeting.
Got hacked, and apparently that's the context that this spear phishing.
The spear phishing is basically a target. They target the user, individual, and it could be from a state actor, right? So they target individual. They call spear phishing.
Okay, right? And that's what that's exactly what
that's
this
the
was deemed to be. Supposedly the Russians. How ironic, right? The Russians.
You know what?
This.
I don't know what to believe anything anymore. So it could be anybody, right?
Yeah, true. Well, we've got about 30 seconds left. Let me just wrap up. Really enjoyed this discussion today. As we have the first 2 weeks, we're going to continue doing this on Sundays as long as Mr. Win-Win is available. And we'll be back Thursday at 2 p.m. talking about more real estate tax, retirement plan taxation, and use of those funds to invest in real estate private partnership syndications, and some zero tax math thrown in. And, you know, that would involve Roth conversions, et cetera. So if you get a chance and would like to join us once again, Thursday at 2 p.m. and then Friday at 11 a.m. Is the second day during the week that we're on. And we're same station, same time right here on AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.